Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step onto the college hardwood. We're going to talk about Michigan basketball and where they find themselves in the country. They are currently the number two team in the country, the number one net team in the country, and a lot of people's number one pick to win the national championship. In fact, Lunardi has already put out his first bracketology, and he has Michigan as the overall number one seed in his first bracketology. So Michigan is getting all the respect around the country for being one of the best teams in the league. Last time we talked, they had just played their game against LaSalle, which they won by 52. And then they went out and had their game earlier this week against McNeese. And they did improve to 12-0. Michigan won that game by 41 points, led by Merez Johnson, who had 24 points, 8 of 12 on field goals, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. He also had 11 rebounds, 5 on the defensive end, 6 on the offensive end for a double-double. Ade Mara, 5 assists, only 3 turnovers in 22 minutes. Looking at the full box score as we get into some of the other stuff happening in this game, Yaxel Landenborg goes 16 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 1 for 2 from the 3-point line. Also, 3 for 4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 1 steal, 1 block in his 21 minutes of play. Ade Mara had 13 on 5 of 6 shooting, 3 for 10 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 blocks, and 4 fouls in his 22 minutes of play. Elliot Cadeau does his thing again. Only 7 points. He goes 2 for 3. 2 for 2 from the 3-point line, though. 1 for 2 from the free throw line. He had 1 rebound, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 steal, setting the pace for this team. 12 points from Damari Burnett as well. 4 for 6 from the field. 2 for 4 from the 3-point line. 2 for 2 from the free throw line. 3 rebounds, 3 assists. No turnovers, steals, or blocks in this game. And of course, the bench squad got in as well. Oscar Goodman, he wasn't able to score, grabbed a couple rebounds, had an assist. Shedder, 2 points, 4 assists, though. Cordell comes in and drops 4 points in the game. 7 points for LJ Kassan, 4 for Grady. You got Roddy Gale Jr. going for 10. Trey McKinney goes for 13. Plenty of points, rebounds, and assists on the bench as well. Of course, Michigan had no problems getting out ahead in this game. As the recap says, excuse me, the Wolverines are off to their best start since they opened up the 2018-19 season at 17-0. They're 12-0 so far, which was a school record in 18-19. It's just the fourth time Michigan has won its first 12 games. Wolverine scored the first 7 points and led 22-7 before the 7-minute mark of the first half. McNeese State was never able to close the gap to less than 10 the rest of the game. Michigan led 60-29 at halftime. They scored 100 points for the third straight game, 6th time in 7 games. The Wolverines have reached the 100-point plateau 7 times already this season. That's 3 games shy of the school record set in 88 and 89. And if I have to remind anyone out there that is or is not a Michigan Wolverines basketball fan, that 88-89 season, they won the national championship. And this team is being compared to that 88-89 team a ton, which means this team has a lot of talent on it and has a bright future ahead. And there are some expectations that they could be the next team to bring Michigan a national championship and would be the first one in over 30 years. That would be insane to experience in our lifetime. The Wolverines have won 9 games this season by 25 plus points and 6 by 40 plus points. 6 of Michigan's last 8 wins are by margins of 30 or more. Up next for the Wolverines, they host the number 24 USC Trojans in Big Ten play as it resumes on Friday. So looking ahead at what they have coming up in the next week, like I just mentioned, they're going to play Friday, as I'm recording this, earlier in the day on Friday, as you all know, taking on USC at 7 p.m. on Peacock. USC coming in 12-1. Michigan, obviously, 12-0. They're giving Michigan a 92.9% chance to win this game. They're coming in as 22.5-point favorites, negative 45 100 on the money line, plus 1700 for USC, plus or 169.5 is the over under for this game. USC led by Chad Baker Mazzara, who did take down this Michigan team with Auburn last year. He's got 21 points per game, 45% from the field, 90 from the free throw line. Excuse me. Jacob Coffey has 6.7 rebounds per game to lead their team. Baker Mazzara also leads them in the assist category, 3.2. He's got 2.1 turnovers per game in his 33 minutes of play. USC only averaging 89.4 points per game compared to Michigan's 96. They're giving up 75. Michigan only giving up 66. Michigan shooting at 54%, also out rebounding USC by 7 rebounds, out assisting them by 4 assists. The blocks are about the same, and so are the steals. But USC coming in on a 4-game win streak, so they're probably feeling hot as well. Their last loss was in Big Ten play against Washington, but they took down San Diego, Washington State, UTSA, and UCSC, all by sizable margins. So they're feeling good coming into this game. We don't even have to talk about Michigan's last 5 and what they have been doing. So make sure to stay tuned in on that game on or hopefully you enjoyed that game on Peacock, as I will definitely be watching that later on. And then they have Penn State coming up on the 6th. Excuse me. January 6th, 7 p.m., FS1. Penn State comes in 9-4. They're only giving Penn State a 5.4% chance. They're led by Caden Mingo, who has 14.8 points per game on 49% shooting, 73.3 from the free throw line. He also leads them in rebounding, 4.1 rebounds per game, and assists at 4.5. So Caden Mingo is the Penn State Nittany Lions. If they're able to shut him down as they have been everyone else, as he averages 30.3 minutes per game, then I don't see Michigan really having a problem. Penn State only averaging 79 points per game, giving up 74. They're shooting 49% from the field, grabbing 30 rebounds. This is a 15-rebound deficit to Michigan. They have an 8-assist deficit to Michigan, also a 5-block assist, and their steals are actually slightly up, is at 8.4 to 7.3 for Michigan. Penn State in their last 5 has 3 losses to Indiana by a sizable margin, 113 to 72. Then they lost to Michigan State by just 4, 76-72. And then they lost to Penn State 80 to 46, which is also a sizable margin. Then they beat North Carolina Central 90 to 67, and they beat Campbell 87 to 76. So I don't think Michigan will have any problems, even though this game will be at Bryce Jordan Center in University Park, Pennsylvania. That's a 7 p.m. game on FS1 come January 6th. Michigan will be hosting USC at Chrysler Center, so that should make a little bit of a difference. Those are the two games that they have in between now and then. Or in between now and our next conversation, they will play Wisconsin and Washington after that before we have a conversation again. So Michigan looks to be rolling, as they only have one ranked opponent coming up until they play Nebraska in the 27th of January, unless some things happen in the coming weeks and we see some teams move up into the rankings. Michigan has, quote unquote, a fairly easy schedule ahead of them, although the Big Ten will not be easy. It will be a gauntlet for anyone not named Michigan, Michigan State, maybe Nebraska and Purdue. Everyone else is going to have a tough time in this conference, and maybe even those teams have some tough runs in this conference as well, because it is going to be an extremely, extremely deep conference. So Michigan, honestly, faring well so far. Obviously, they're near the top in the Big Ten Conference, as they are 2-0, up there with Nebraska, Michigan State, Purdue, and UCLA, who are all 2-0 in the conference. Michigan State, Purdue are both 12-1. Nebraska's 13-0. UCLA is 10-3. Like I said, that's just the top of the standings. There are Illinois, Washington, Minnesota, USC, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. So 8 teams are all 1-1, right in the middle of the pack as well. And then everyone else sitting at 0-2 at the bottom of the conference. So this conference is literally just pins and needles away from being an explosive conference. All it takes is for a few teams to put together a couple wins in a row, and all of a sudden they're near the top of this conference and they're fighting and they're most likely ranked, and then they're going to be pushing for a spot in the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten is going to be an extremely, extremely deep team. So with Michigan being poised to be a number one team, it's insane how good this team is. They have been able to survive all of their scares, quote unquote, and it looks like they're closing in on Arizona as well as they begin to get those first place votes. They had 38 of them in the most recent standings to come out, rankings. Arizona had 38. Michigan followed right behind at 19, which was four more than they had the week before. So they're continuing to pull within that gap to go ahead and get that one seed. So as they continue to blow teams out and continue to win, they're hoping that teams continue to see the success that is laid out in front of them. But I really like what Michigan has to offer the country. I don't think there's a bad thing going for them right now. And Dusty May has said it multiple times that this team is not at its peak. This team still has so much more to learn and so much more to grow and so much more inside of them. This team has another gear, another level. He's mentioned it before, and I think that should be scary to every single team in the country. What do you mean this team can play better than what it already is? This team is beating teams by 40 and 50 points, and it can play better than beating teams by 40 or 50 points. I don't know what that means. That means you can beat teams by 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Like, what? How much better does this team get than it already is? You don't see a team made up of a couple guys who stayed and then a bunch of transfers gel so quickly. You don't see them play so unselfishly. You don't see them play at such a high level so fast. I don't know what it is that Dusty May has done with this program, but wow, is it great. I'm happy for it. Dusty May is single-handedly the best hire by Ward Manuel in his career. There's another lady that I'll talk about later on in this show that is also a very great hire for Ward Manuel. I can't give you her name yet because that's coming up later on in the show, but those two top tier hires for him and their work with their teams are proving it week in and week out. Dusty May has his team looking like the best team in the country, and everyone around the country is talking about it. There even are other teams in the Big Ten who are saying there isn't a team in the country that can beat Michigan right now. They don't even think their own teams can beat Michigan because of how well Michigan has been playing. So really, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Michigan possibly winning a national championship this year. I'm extremely excited for it, all because they went out and they decided to hire the right guy. Dusty May was the right guy. Wasn't sure if he was a Michigan guy coming in. A lot of people said that. There were a lot of skepticisms because of where he was coming from down at Florida Atlantic, and he was bringing a couple of guys, and then they saw what he did with Danny Wolf and Vladimir Golden. Wow. I'm so sorry, Vlad. You know, it's all love. But yeah, they saw what he did with Golden and what he did with Wolf, and then now people want to play for Dusty May. Yaxel Lannenborg was on his way to the NBA before he finally said, hey, you know what? Hold on. Dusty said I could be a lottery pick if I play for him. Yeah, let's do that. Elliott's coming here. Merez is coming here. Mara's coming here. Yeah, let's run it. And now we're seeing them run the table. So if you're not a Michigan basketball fan, I feel extremely bad for you because they are running it up right now. It's not going to slow down anytime soon. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to talk about Michigan State basketball and what they have in store with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tip.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too. Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Welcome back to Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're going back to the college. We're inside the hardwood talking about Michigan State basketball. Last time we talked about them, they had just come off a 9-point victory against Oakland, which was a little scary to see because you do want to see them beat those mid-major teams by much more than 9. And then they had another scare when they played on Monday earlier this week. They took on Cornell. They did hit the century mark, 114-97, but they gave up 97 points. Jeremy Fears Jr. had a career high 21 points in the game, added 11 assists for number 9 Michigan State as the Spartans overcame a sluggish start to beat Cornell 114-97 on Monday night. Cohen Carr had 19 points, 6 rebounds. Trey Fort scored 14 points. Divine Ugochukwu had 12 points, and Jackson Kohler 11 points, 10 rebounds for a double-double. Fears' previous high was 19 against North Carolina on the 27th of November. The Spartans are now 12-1 and reached a season high of 4 points and allowed a season high in its final non-conference game. Its final total was the highest output since December 13, 2008, when the Spartans had 118 against Alcorn State. The Spartans hadn't given up more than 72 points in any game this season. Their previous season high score was 92 against Toledo on December 16th. Cooper Nard led Cornell with 19 points. Adam Hinton and Jake Fegan added 15 points apiece. The schools hadn't faced each other since November 24th of 2000. Michigan State has Nebraska coming up. That's Friday night, later tonight, as I'm recording this. So you guys will already know that's a 9 p.m. Peacock game. That's going right after the Michigan game at 7 p.m. against Nebraska. So a great USC. Excuse me. So a great doubleheader for them. Then Michigan State will turn around and play USC, which USC is doing their Michigan trip. They will play Michigan. Then they'll play Michigan State on the 5th. That's an 8:30 p.m. game on FS1. Both of those teams currently 12-1, and they could both go into that game 13-1, or they could both go 12-2. One could be 13-1, the other could be 12-2. A lot could happen moving into that game. Then they'll play Thursday on the 8th, 6:30 p.m. on BTN against Northwestern, who's 8-5 currently. That is what they have coming up in the next week before we speak again. But I mean, the Nebraska game, which obviously you guys were able to see, but I was not before recording, is a 9 p.m. game, a 57.9% chance for Nebraska. They're led by Rank Mask, who has 16.5 points per game, 51% shooting, 82.2% from the free throw line. He has 6.8 rebounds as well. Jamarcus Lawrence leads their team with 3.9 assists, only 1.8 turnovers in 25.5 minutes. They average 83.5 points and only give up 66, which both of those are very comparable to Michigan's 80.8 and 65.9. They're shooting 47 and 48%, Michigan State and Nebraska respectively, 42 and 38 in rebounds, 20 and 18 in assists, 5 blocks and 6 steals per game for Michigan State, 2.7 blocks and 6.8 steals for Nebraska. As we know, Michigan State only has the one blemish on their record to Duke, and that was in their last 5. They lost that game by 6. Meanwhile, Nebraska is perfect 5-0. They beat Creighton by 21, beat Wisconsin by 30, beat Illinois by just 3, took down North Dakota by a sizable margin in the same with New Hampshire. So they are rolling into this game. This game will be at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska. So they have that home crowd behind them as well as they're going into that game as 2.5-point favorites, -135 on the money line, +114 for Michigan State. 145.5 sits on the over under. The preview for the game said the Cornhuskers have gone 9-0 at home. They rank 6th in the Big Ten in rebounding. The Spartans are 2-0 in conference games, and they are 9-0 games decided by less than 10 points. The Cornhuskers and Spartans will face off for the first time in conference play this season as they look to continue success on both sides of the floor. So Michigan State has quite the trail in front of them as they will play Nebraska and USC before getting a little bit of a break between Northwestern, Indiana, Washington, Oregon, Maryland, Rutgers before they have to play Michigan at the end of the month. Looking at some of their stats, they're led by Jackson Kohler, 13.7 points per game, 10.3 rebounds. Jeremy Fears, 9.3 assists, 1.3 steals for him as well. Jackson Kohler is 1.1 rebounds. Cohen Carr also pours in 12.2 points. He grabs 5 rebounds a game as well. Mr. Cooper pours in 10 points and 6 rebounds. So they're getting a little bit of a committee approach, but not quite what you're seeing over at Michigan. So their depth isn't quite the same for the Spartans, but they are still seeing success because they are led by none other than arguably the king of college basketball, Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo has been doing this thing for 20, 30 years now, 40 years, and he seems to always make it to the NCAA tournament. His teams seem to always make it to at least the Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight. And then once they make it to the tournament, everybody knows Michigan State is just as dangerous as anybody else. They don't have to have all the four or five stars. They just have to have guys that believe in Tom Izzo. He's going to get them to play at a level that nobody else is ready for. Once they step, they understand that, hey, we just have to be good enough to get a seed in the NCAA tournament, and then we're going to turn it up a notch. We're going to play real Michigan State basketball in the NCAA tournament because we want to see who is ready to actually win a national championship. It amazes me the way that Tom Izzo is able to coach year in and year out. Now, I do think his time is coming to an end at some point, and I do think that the next time he loses a game before the Sweet 16 or maybe the Elite Eight, he's going to call it one and get out while he's ahead. But at the current moment, he has nothing to worry about. This team's 12-1 and almost beat Duke, who many people are touting Duke as one of the favorites to win the national championship. Joe Lunardi in his bracketology has Duke as a one seed. So once again, Duke is a powerhouse and a blue blood. So if you go out and you're able to compete with them and only lose by 6, you easily could have won that game without a couple of mistakes that you made on your end. Then, of course, you're going to be able to compete with anybody else in the country except the Michigan Wolverines. I'm telling you, Michigan Wolverines are going to give this team a real run for their money. It's going to be a great game. And this East Lansing, it will be a great game. And Ann Arbor as well when they play again, because they do play twice this year. Michigan State is just a different team. You can't ever count them out of any game. And it's because of who they are led by. I do think they have a little bit of a tougher road this year because they don't have, in my opinion, like that guy that can just create. Jeremy Fears Jr. is starting to become that guy, but he's got to get there quick. He's got to get there quick. And I mean, he's got to get there before Big Ten play starts. He's got to be able to create a bucket on command for this team at any time, whether it's creating one for himself or someone else. But they need that playmaker headed into Big Ten play. They need that playmaker for the NCAA tournament that is at a next level and will be able to do it at any moment, because that is their real problem. And defense. I'm sorry, defense and rebounding. Because you're giving up 97 points to Cornell. You're giving up 70 points to Oakland and only winning the game by 9. Michigan State, that is never going to be okay. You're not going to have long-term success if that's the kind of output that you're allowing, right? You only beat Colgate by 11. You gave up 69 in that game. Arkansas, you beat them by 3. I'm cool with that because they were ranked. That's a tough game. You went out and you beat Kentucky. That's huge. You beat San Jose State by 19. You gave up 60 points in that game. You gave up 56 to East Carolina. Gave up 58 to North Carolina, which was a phenomenal game for you. So that was a great win. You went out and you throttled Iowa. Huge. But you gave up 72 points and only beat Penn State by 4. You gave up 69 points to Toledo. Your defense isn't great. And if you're going to win more games in the NCAA tournament, if you're going to win games in the Big Ten, if you're going to win games in the Big Ten tournament, you're going to have to play better defense. There is no other way around it. There's no way to cut the cake there where you can slouch on defense and get away with it. You don't have high-level scorers, and you don't play at a pace that allows you to outscore other teams at a large margin. So if they can score, you're in trouble because you can't make stops. You can't stop them from scoring, but they can stop you from scoring. I bet it. That's Michigan State's real problem this year, is they don't have a go-to scorer, and they don't have a go-to guy that can create for anybody at any time. If they're able to figure out that problem, they will have a little bit more success, and they will be able to make up for some of the problems that they have elsewhere on the floor, including the defensive end. They're the exact opposite of Michigan. They're a team that's like, hey, we just got to figure out how to win, whereas Michigan is like, hey, look at here. We're going to force you to take the shots we want you to take. When you miss them, we're going to grab the rebounds and get out in transition and make easy layups, and we're going to beat you by 40. We're going to press you so that you speed up and you make stupid mistakes, because that's what basketball is about. We're going to play team ball. The open guy is going to take the shot. He's going to knock it down. And if he doesn't, we're going to grab the offensive rebound and go back up with it. Like, Michigan plays a pretty methodical game, whereas Michigan State is all about the vibes. They want to get in your head. They want to play hard, and they want to make it a tough, gritty game so that they can come out with a sloppy win at the end of the day, because all that matters is who wins the game. Doesn't matter how you win it. And Michigan State's a great, 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 great example of that. Hey, they don't care how they win games. They just need to win them. That's what it is for them. They got to make sure they win games. They don't care how they win them. Whether they win by 40, they win by 20, or they win by one. They just got to make sure they win them so that they keep getting them in the win tally mark, and that they keep going up in those rankings and they're able to solidify a spot in the NCAA tournament. I'm never mad with the way Michigan State plays basketball. That has always been their philosophy, and it has worked for them year in and year out. So anyone who doesn't like it, either don't be a Michigan State fan, or you just deal with it, because it's greatness. And we have to appreciate greatness while it's happening in front of our eyes. We throw it away too often in sports. So we're not going to do that here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some miscellaneous things and some hockey happening in the state of Michigan. Here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Nearly 2,000 of the state's top student athletes will be recognized for excelling academically and in school activities through the MHSAA's Scholar Athlete Award, underwritten by Farm Bureau Insurance. The applicants will be in the running for a total of 32 $2,000 college scholarships. Application materials are available exclusively online through the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Mike Rowe on the student organization known as Skills USA.
Well, everybody talks about high unemployment. It seems to me that the real problem is the skills gap. There are opportunities available, millions of them. Skills USA is on the front line. They're encouraging soft skills, specific skills. They're the connective tissue in between the opportunities that exist and the hopes that a lot of parents and kids have for their own future.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Skills USA, champions at work.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're going to talk about some miscellaneous things happening around the state here, and mostly in the college realm of sports, before we get into our picks to close out the show. Most importantly, we want to celebrate a team that is continuing to be one of the best teams in the country. Fair State football, they went back to the national championship, and they didn't just go back to the national championship. They won the national championship, a perfect 16-0 record for the Fair State Bulldogs this year. They took on Harding in that championship game. That was back on December 20th, last Saturday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because, well, the show was already out. But they won that game 42-21 in McKinney, Texas, for the D2 National Championship. They jumped out to a 14-point lead. And then at halftime, after Harding was able to bounce back and score 14 of their own in the second quarter, it was 21-14. And then a huge third quarter from the Bulldogs put them up 42-21, as it was 21-7 in the third. Neither team scored in the fourth, but that was just fine with the Bulldogs because, as I mentioned, they were national champs. Taking a look at the rundown here. The Ferris State University Bulldogs continue to dominate runs. The Bulldogs claim their fourth NCAA D2 national championship in the past 5 years with a convincing 42-21 win over Harding from Arkansas on Saturday in McKinney, Texas. FSU repeated as D2 national champs and finished the 2025 campaign with a 16-0 record, becoming the first NCAA Division I or II team in the modern era of college football to finish with a perfect 16-0 mark. It's unbelievable that we did it again, and I'm so proud of our players and staff for what they have accomplished, said head coach Tony Anise from FSU. This group came together and did so many great things to get back here to McKinney and find a way to get it done. Ferris State has topped the all-time NCAA D1 or D2 scoring record, finishing the year with a record-breaking 844 points on the season. The Bulldogs dominated on the ground, accumulating 363 rushing yards, including 4 rushing touchdowns. The team capitalized on the Bison's miscues, converting 2 fumble recoveries into points as Harding briefly narrowed the gap with 2 second quarter touchdowns, but could not keep pace in the second half. Ferris State capitalized on a strong ground game to take a commanding lead in the first quarter, highlighted by quarterback Wyatt Bowers, 2 rushing touchdowns, and it just all went from there. The win has extended the Bulldogs' winning streak to 30 consecutive games dating back to the start of the 2024 campaign. So once again, congratulations to the Ferris State Bulldogs, who have continued to have an uber amount of success on the football field over the last couple of years. As we said, 4 national championships in 5 years, and not to mention former national championship for the Ferris State Bulldogs, Trinidad Chambliss, trying to do his thing with Ole Miss Rebels in the college football playoff, has looked phenomenal at the Division I level in a Power 4 school, jumping right from D2 powerhouse Ferris State. So for all of those saying, oh, it's D2, not that good, yeah, no. Ferris State is very much that good at the D2 level, because there is nothing but athletes and good athletes at that school when you play football for Tony Anise. So once again, another congratulations to head coach Tony Anise and the Ferris State Bulldogs, as they are D2 national champs. The FCS championship is coming up. That doesn't have any teams from Michigan. That'll be Illinois State versus Montana. Montana State. So that'll be an interesting matchup there coming up soon. But looking over at the hockey rankings, once again, the state of Michigan continuing to look well in the USA men's hockey poll. They have Michigan as the number one team with a 15-3 record. Michigan State is 11-3, is the number 3 team, and Western Michigan at 9-5 as the number 7 team in the country. The USCHO men's poll has Michigan as the 1 seed, 16-4 record. So that was updated on December 29th. The U.S. hockey men's poll was last updated on the 1st. So it's been a little minute since they put that out. Michigan State now 13-4, still the 3rd ranked team in the country. And Western Michigan 11-6, 7th ranked team in the country still. And their Michigan Tech is also receiving votes to be ranked. So the state of Michigan once again continuing to do his thing in the hockey realms. Going to take a peek at their schedules here as I am pulling those up. Great podcasting here by your guy. So Michigan hockey, their next game will be Saturday, later today, 7 p.m. in Ann Arbor against the U.S. men's national developmental team, obviously the U18 team. They're 7-3 in conference, 16-4 on the year. They're 8-2 at home and 8-2 on the road. So they're good everywhere that they go. They had a loss to Wisconsin in Ann Arbor and a loss to Penn State on the road at State College. Other than that, their losses are very few and far in between. They have a loss in Ann Arbor to Michigan State as well. And then they have a loss earlier in the season to Western Michigan and Kalamazoo. Those are their 4 losses. And you can see that they're pretty much continuing to dominate. It's a reason why they're the number one team in the country. And no one seems to be able to stop them anytime soon. So we're going to pop over to Michigan State and see what their hockey schedule is looking like. We obviously know that they were able to beat Michigan. They only have three losses on the year. They're 5-3 in conference play. They're 5-4 at home, but 7-0 on the road and 2-0 in neutral site. So I do know that they did just play in the Great Lakes Invitational. They took down Ferris State 5-2 after coming off that win against Michigan. And then they took down Michigan Tech in the championship game. Those games were played at Van Andel Arena over in Grand Rapids. Michigan Tech won that game 4-1. Michigan State won that game over Michigan Tech 4-1 after beating Ferris State 5-2 to take home the Great Lakes Invitational Championship again this season. Their next game will be January 4th against the U.S. Men's National Developmental Team, the U18 version there as well. So the developmental team will play back-to-back games against Michigan and Michigan State on the 3rd and the 4th. Michigan State will then take on Ohio State on the 9th and the 10th for their next Big Ten series. Popping in for a quick second on our lovely Broncos, who are technically still national champs until somebody else wins one. Taking a look at their schedule here, they're 12-6. They're 6-4 in their conference play, 4-4 at home, 6-2 on the road, 2-0 in neutral site. They have two losses to University of Denver at home at Lawson Arena. They also lost to University of Minnesota Duluth on the road at home against Lawson Arena, then beat them in overtime the following day. They're coming off a win over Boston College and Wisconsin in the Quick Trip holiday faceoff on the 28th and the 29th. So they were able to go up there and win that and come out with a huge ranked win over the number 2 team in the country and the number 12 team. Their next matchups are Friday and Saturday. Friday, as you're listening to this, Saturday, tomorrow, against Notre Dame at Lawson Arena before they take on Denver on the road the 9th and the 10th. So Western going to look to keep playing at a high level, keep beating these ranked teams to keep themselves ranked high in the rankings and grab themselves an NCAA tournament spot. But it looks like we're going to have 3-4 Michigan teams in the NCAA men's hockey tournament once again as Michigan continues to dominate on the ice. Michigan, the number 1 team in the country. Michigan State, the number 3. And Western Michigan, the number 7. So as long as they continue to play at the level that they are playing at, then they should be able to get themselves an automatic bid. And then Michigan Tech can also slide in if they win their conference or something else crazy happens. So we'll keep you updated on hockey as that continues to roll out. But when we come back from the break, we'll be doing our picks to end out the show with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tip. Welcome back into Mitten Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into my favorite part of the show. We're about to talk about our picks. Now, you can play along with our picks every single week using the chat feature in the Ticket app. Listen as we run down through the games. I give my deliberation. I talk about all the information I have. I select my picks. And then you have the opportunity to do your own deliberation, your own research, and then drop your picks into the chat feature on the Ticket app and see if you know ball better than I do. 6 games a week, and maybe, just maybe, you're able to do it better than I am. As you all know, Jacob was not able to take me down any time he was here. 3 rounds of picks we went. I was 2-0-1. We had one tie, but I won twice. So therefore, I have no L's. Anybody out there going to be able to give me my first L in picks? Let me know. Hit that chat feature, send in those picks, and let me know if you know ball just as well as I do. Speaking of knowing ball and picks, last week, your boy went 4-2. 4-2 as BYU took down Georgia Tech. Indiana took down Bama. Oregon took down Texas Tech. Ole Miss took down Georgia 34-39. And then Michigan lost to Texas and Ohio State lost to Miami. So that gives me 4-2, bumping me up to 72-42 on the season. So we got six fresh games popping up this week. We got four going down in the NFL ranks as that season comes to a close and they get ready for the playoffs. And then we got an NBA game and we have a hockey game to go through as well. We are going to start in the NFL and we are going to start with those matchups that are the most important. All of these matchups have playoff implications coming up this weekend. We'll start with the Panthers and the Buccaneers. This game is 4:30 p.m. ABC later today. The 8-8 Carolina Panthers and the 7-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The winner will win the NFC South Division. The Bucs are currently 3-point favorites. 43.5 on the over-under. Negative 155 for the Bucs. Plus 130 for the Panthers. 38% for the Panthers. 61.7% for the Bucs in the matchup predictor. There are some injuries on both sides that will play a factor into this game. The Panthers have a win over the Bucs and the Rams in their last five, but have losses to Seattle, New Orleans, and San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Bucs are 1-4 in their last five. They have one win over the Arizona Cardinals, 20-17. They have losses to New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, and Miami in that stretch as well. This one is for all the marbles. The team that wins this game goes to the playoffs. The team that doesn't is headed to Cancun early. And as much as I like the Bucs, and I've been on the Bucs side most of the season in the last few seasons, this is not a game that I can be on their side. I really like Bryce Young. He's been hooking up well with Tetero McMillan, and they have connected well. Rico Dowdle has been great in that backfield. The defense has stepped up to a large quantity. And so now they're playing really good football at the best time of the year. Give me the Carolina Panthers to take down the Buccaneers, claim that last playoff spot in the NFC, and we'll move on to the playoffs. Our second game of the week is following that game, 8 p.m. It's going to be ABC and ESPN, just like the last game. The 13-3 Seahawks will be playing the 12-4 49ers for first place in the NFC. If Seattle wins, they'll have first. If San Francisco wins, they'll have first. The other will drop lower and play in the first weekend. 1.5-point favorites are the Seahawks. 47.5 on the over-under. Negative 120 on the money line, even for the 49ers. 50.5% for the Seahawks. 49.1% for the 49ers. Injuries on both sides, as always, expected in this game. George Kittle, questionable. Ricky Pearsall, questionable. Trent Williams, questionable for the 49ers. You got Kobe Bryant, Kobe White, and Jones, questionable for Seattle. Seattle is 5-0 heading into this game. An overtime win over the Rams, a win over Indianapolis, and then Minnesota, Carolina, and Atlanta. 49ers are also 5-0 headed into this game. Wins over Chicago, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Cleveland, and Carolina. This game is for all of the marbles. This game will be at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Even though San Fran is going to be the home team, I do not know that I have enough trust in them to rock with them for this game. I really like the Seahawks and the way they've been playing. I feel like their defense is a little bit better than the 49ers this year, and Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba have been ridiculous this season. Give me the Seahawks to win a road game here and claim the number one seed in the NFC. That's going to move us on to another game with some playoff implications. First seed in the AFC up for grabs for the Broncos. The Chargers can't really change things, so they will be sitting Justin Herbert and a few other starters as they prepare for the playoffs. Amarion Hampton is questionable, so he may not play either as they try and be healthy for the playoffs. The Broncos are 12.5-point favorites currently, 37.5 on the over-under, negative 1,000 for the Broncos, plus 650 for the Chargers, 68.6% chance for the Broncos, 31.1% chance for the Chargers. The Chargers are 4-1 in their last five. Their lone loss to Houston, but they did beat Dallas, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Vegas. Meanwhile, the Broncos are 4-1 in their last five as well. They have an overtime win over the Commanders. They beat Vegas, Green Bay, and Kansas City, and then they lost to Jacksonville by 14. like I said, a lot on the line in this game for Denver. This is a 4:25 game tomorrow on CBS. Not much on the line for the Chargers. Chargers are going to sit some starters. I think the Broncos want that one seed. I think they want that bye. So they're going to come out and play hard for at least a half, maybe three quarters, to guarantee that victory for themselves, lock up the one seed in the AFC. So if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm going to be rocking with the Denver Broncos, as this game will be at Mile High Stadium, in Power Field at Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado. So the Broncos will be the one seed in the AFC if my picks turn out to be correct. And then that gives us one more football game to get into for the weekend. That game is going to be the Ravens and the Steelers. This game will be for the AFC North title. The 8-8 Baltimore Ravens will be traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the 9-7 Steelers. This game will be on NBC and at Peacock, 8:20 p.m. tomorrow. The Ravens a 57.4% chance to win, a 42.2% chance for the Steelers, although this game will be at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. Lamar Jackson is expected to play in this game. Rashad Bateman is questionable. Kyle Van Noy is questionable. Roquan Smith also questionable for the Ravens. Pierre, Calvin Austin III, TJ Watt, all questionable for the Steelers. The Steelers are 2-3, or excuse me, the Ravens are 2-3 in their last five wins over Green Bay and Cincinnati. They also have losses to Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and New Orleans. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh is 3-2 in their last five, losses to Cleveland and Buffalo, but wins over Baltimore, Miami, and Detroit. With Lamar Jackson coming into this game and with the breakout game of the season for Derrick Henry last week, where he dominated the Packers, I think that they're ready to play. I think that the run game is where they need it to be. That's going to make it tougher for Pittsburgh to be able to score with them the way that they can score points. And I think the Ravens are going to go in on the road to Acrisure Stadium and come out with a victory at the end of the season to steal away the NFC North title and to send the Steelers home early. I mean, it's been a while since Mike Tomlin has missed the playoffs, but I think it just might happen this year by the hands of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. That's going to kick us over to Little Caesars Arena, where we're going to touch in with the Red Wings and the Pistons. The Red Wings will be taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, who they did just lose to, but that was on the road. This next game will be at noon, so shortly after we're done talking here on ABC. The 18-12-9 Penguins will be taking on our 24-14-4 Red Wings. The Red Wings are coming into this game, obviously, off of the loss. The last five for Pittsburgh are great. They're 4-1, a 6-3 loss to Toronto, the only blemish. But they have 4-3 overtime win over Detroit and a 4-3 shootout win over Montreal. And then they beat Carolina and Chicago. Meanwhile, Detroit 3-2. Obviously, the loss to Pittsburgh and then the loss to Carolina 5-2. But then they have overtime wins over Toronto and Dallas and a win over Winnipeg. I'm going to rock with the home team. They play well when they're at home. They also have been playing well so far this year. I think, you know, Pittsburgh was able to get a good game at home and use that home crowd to an advantage of theirs and grab a win. But I don't see it happening again. Give me the Red Wings at home to take a victory. That's going to get us into our last game of the weekend. This one also going to involve our guys out in Detroit. This game will not be happening at Little Caesars Arena. This game will be at Rocket Arena in Cleveland. Your 25-9 first place Detroit Pistons will be taking on the 19-16 Cleveland Cavaliers. 44.6% chance for Detroit, 55.4% chance for Cleveland. Cade Cunningham, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Duren, Evan Mobley, and company will take each other on. A lot of game time decisions on both sides, but we're sure most starters will play. Pistons are 2-3 in their last five. They beat the Lakers, and the Kings have lost to the Clippers, Utah, and Miami. Meanwhile, the Cavs are 3-2 in that same stretch, lost to Houston and New York, but were able to beat Phoenix, San Antonio, and New Orleans. 2 p.m. game coming up tomorrow. And the Cavaliers did win this first contest back in October, but I think the Pistons are going to even things up. And I'm going to take them to win this game as well as Cade Cunningham continues to play at a high level. That is going to give me the Panthers, the Seahawks, the Broncos, the Ravens, the Pistons, and the Red Wings as we head into another weekend. As you should know, we have tons coming up on the ticket this weekend for you to listen to. Pulling those games up for you now. I know that we have the doubleheader tomorrow, which is the Panthers and Bucks coming up first, and then you have the Seahawks and 49ers that follow that up. Then on Sunday, we have Sunday Night Football, which is Ravens and Steelers. No Monday Night Football this weekend. Then we will pick things back up next weekend with the playoffs. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic weekend of sports, as I'll be doing the same. And we'll get back with you next week with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.